Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, good morning. 6:37 at WGN Radio from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Dr. Natalie Marks is in the studio to answer your questions or text. You can call us or text us. Either way, 312-981-7200. Good morning, Dr. Marks.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, this is great. I get to spend my Valentine's Day getting a green light every stoplight here,
yeah,
and then seeing you. Uh-huh. I mean, nothing could be better than this.
I know. You need to play the lotto or something.
I should today. You're right about that. Wow. And the thing that we can do on Valentine's Day more than anything else is hear about the dog flu. I think that's about right. So many thought the dog flu was so incredibly bad. You were here a couple of times, mm-hmm, in 2015, two or three times, talking about the dog flu.
Right.
And at one point in time, let me put it this way. At the end of its run in Chicago, by the end of 2015,
mm-hmm,
we had thousands of dogs, too many to count.
Right.
Literally thousands of dogs that were sickened. We know 8 dogs died. But when I talk to people like you who say, you know, not every client is going to do an animal autopsy on their dog and pay for that, so we can't positively identify, but we know it's likely far more than 8 dogs. That's a lot of dogs. And then it kind of disappeared, or so people thought. Now, those in the community knew that the flu was still in some of the shelters,
right,
and the flu would sporadically, individual cases hit there, here and there.
Right.
Well, it turns out, never really left, but it's back in a bigger way. So I want to talk a little about that with you, but first let's back up a few steps. The dog flu that was here last year was something I suspect you didn't plan for in your calendar.
Ever. I didn't wake up one morning and think I was going to be a local expert on a South Korean influenza virus. I never thought so, but...
Well, you're a national expert, it turns out, because you were in the brunt of all this. But what was all this? What happened?
Well, in a very quick nutshell, in March of 2015, we started seeing a very heavy uprise in respiratory cases in dogs in the city. And it wasn't our classic mild cough and kind of cold-like syndrome that we see with kennel cough. But these dogs were very, very ill, high fevers, very lethargic, not eating, and some of them getting pneumonias. It lasted several days. And after a lot of testing and working with outreach to Cornell University, we ended up finding out that this was a new virus never seen in the U.S. before from South Korea, H3N2 influenza virus.
From South Korea?
Yes.
How does that happen?
Well, you know, I think the jury's still out definitively on what happened here. We think that this was an imported dog from South Korea, whether it was a rescued dog, a privately owned, we just don't know.
Could have been a military dog.
Absolutely.
Could have been a security dog. Nobody knows.
We have no idea. And I don't know if we ever will, but that virus landed first in Darien and then in the city. And we have this very contagious, easily spread virus that lives in the environment for 48 hours in the start of spring break season with a bunch of dogs who have never seen the virus before. So it's the perfect storm for an epidemic.
Why is it a perfect storm for an epidemic? Obviously, spring break means more dogs will be boarded,
right,
or and maybe go to the groomer before being boarded.
Right.
All of which, but why is it being a novel virus, one that hasn't been here before, why did that play a role in all this?
Well, our dogs had no immunity to this virus. So that means that their bodies had never seen this before. They didn't have memory proteins or kind of this reserve of, oh, I remember this and I know how to fight it. So it basically had free rein in the body. It is 99% of dogs who are exposed to this virus do get sick.
So for those people that told me, and right. I suspect you had the same thing, as I went to the dog parks at the height of all this, saying, why are you here? We closed the dog parks. And people who said, well, my dog's healthy. My dog won't get sick. It's just the old dogs. It's just the puppies.
Right.
Any truth to that at all?
No. This was the most non-discriminatory virus we've ever seen. Any age, any breed, any sex, healthy, ill, it didn't matter. And the other interesting thing about this is there were a lot of dogs that weren't at-risk dogs that got sick because their owners were at rescues or at shelters or going to the dog park with their friend, because we can spread the virus as a fomite. So
you have to explain what that means.
Yeah,
to
we
folks.
Are people. People can harbor or have the virus live on their clothing for up to 48 hours.
So it's not the people are getting the flu and spreading it to dogs.
Right.
The flu virus lives on our shoes or our pants. Or
right. Something. We're a transport. We're a mechanism of getting the virus from one dog to your own dog. Yes. You know, we saw so many dogs that the owners would come in and they say, I live on the 64th floor and my dog never goes outside. Well, how do you think that dog gets outside? It goes down the communal dog elevator in this basically perfect little bubble where there's nothing to do but spread germs by dogs coughing. And then it sits in that elevator for 48 hours. And any dog that goes in there can get it. So it was incubating and then spreading like wildfire. So it's a huge problem.
Okay. I love this text. Steve, this is stupid. You're spreading panic. It's just the flu. So I love that because I get that a lot. It's just the flu. They're right about that. But explain why we're and you are concerned about it. And you might have to, one way to do it might be to also explain what you went through last year and with that, what the dogs went through.
Yeah. I think maybe to one person, it might just be the flu, but to my clients who lost their dog during this epidemic and lost their family member, it wasn't just the flu. It was a major crisis in their life. To the people who had their dogs with me hospitalized for 7 to 10 days with thousands of dollars of vet bills and dogs that were coughing for up to 60 days and still are, have some residual cough and they're still dealing with this, it wasn't just the flu. And it was a crisis mode for a lot of vets around here. We were putting in very, very long days every day and really trying to educate because for a lot of dogs, it was a mild respiratory case. A lot of dogs, it was not. It was intense croup-like cough for 30 to 60 days with nothing that I could do to help. There's really nothing that can instantly make those dogs feel better. Over time, there is. I mean, there's some supportive care, but ultimately, it's viral. You know, we don't have a cure for this virus. So I completely understand where some people are coming from thinking that this is panic. And we are not on the air to panic anyone. We are simply trying to educate because it is still here. Nowhere near in the levels. I don't want people to think that we're in the midst of an epidemic because we are not, but we are diagnosing cases still every day.
And as I go to commercial break, here's what I think. In the northwest suburbs, there seems to be more of it than maybe even or as much of it as its height last year. There's a lot of it in the northwest suburbs. You see it all the time still, and even if it's a handful of cases, well, thousands of dogs have been sickened, and those dogs may have some immunity, which is one of the questions you all have emailed me, and I'll get to your email questions in a moment. That's still thousands and thousands and thousands of dogs who have not been exposed. But we can do something about that. At least you as a dog owner can, and we'll tell you what you can do when we come back. 14 minutes before 7 at WGN. After 7 o'clock, you know what we're doing. Well, I won't be doing it, but you'll be hearing about it. Politics, which has become more fun than ever before. I was at the hockey game last night, actually. The WGN had an event there. I was happy to be asked to that event, but I didn't see the debate. So we will hear, I'm sure, about the debate after 7 o'clock. It is 10 minutes before 7. This is WGN Radio, and Mr. Schwani will be here at 7 o'clock with all the news. Dr. Natalie Marks is here in the studio. Got lots of text questions. You could also call us if you so desire. 312-981-7200. So, Dr. Marks, one of those text questions is, all right, my dog is coughing. I'm paraphrasing this.
Yep.
Assuming it's the flu, you said, there's nothing really much to do. You can't give an antibiotic to a viral infection. It won't help. You can give it, but it won't help. So why do I even need to see my veterinarian? It's a good question.
Very good question. It's not the only reason dogs cough. Unfortunately, it's another one that we have to worry about. But we deal with something called the CIRDC, which is the Canine Infectious Respiratory Disease Complex. So there's lots of different bacteria and viruses and combinations that can cause a cough, along with heart disease and bronchitis and collapsing trachea and on and on and on.
Right.
So it is important to see your veterinarian for a lot of reasons. One, we want to make sure we're getting it right while your dog's coughing, because it could be Bordetella, which causes kennel cough, and that a lot of times does need antibiotics, or mycoplasma, or it could be something else that's not infectious. So we definitely want to see see your dog. We want to make sure that we're doing the appropriate testing, and a good physical exam is very important.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, of course. Now, let's say you do diagnose the dog flu.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Well, a couple things. The first thing is we want to make sure that we're supporting that patient appropriately. If they're dehydrated, if they're getting a secondary pneumonia, if they're staying up all night coughing, if they're not eating well, we do give supportive measures. Sometimes they help. I have to be honest, sometimes it takes a bit of time for that patient to feel better. But we also want to make sure that we're being good community pet owners and making sure that that dog isn't going right back into a daycare setting the next day, or that we're educating your neighbors about where the contagiousness is, because we're finding that the flu can intermittently transmit to another dog for 24 days, and that dog could be coughing up to 60 days. So this isn't something like us where we get the 24-hour, flu, we stay home from work a day and go back the next day. This is something where we really want to be, again, conscious as not only the pet parent but also in the community, so that it doesn't spread like it did before.
So a couple phone calls we'll get to in a second. I just want to grab this text because it's along the lines of what you were saying. So 630 wants to know, their dog had the flu. Mm-hmm. At what point can their dog be exposed to other dogs? How many weeks after symptoms disappear or the dog is diagnosed?
Right. So 24 days is considered right now the maximum contagious nature.
That's once the dog is diagnosed.
Right. Approximately 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And those dogs can have a lingering cough for up to 60 days, but they are not considered contagious. So to be safe, I usually tell people 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. We have more calls than we can take. And then I'll take one now real fast. And we've kind of buried the lead. The whole point, at least in great part while you're here, we have an announcement to make. I've talked about it already. What you can do to prevent it from happening in your dog in the first place,
right,
which I guess would be the whole idea. You are on the radio, Bill. Good morning. Bill? Bill? Whoa, Bill. Bill?
Hi.
There you are.
I talked to you earlier this week. You know, remember I had told you about a pet shop I went to in Chicago.
Yes.
That was still selling puppies?
Yes.
Well, I just want to tell you another story that happened to me. Well, this goes back to the late 90s when I went into another pet shop on the southwest side. Actually, it was in Evergreen Park. And I went in there to buy some pet food, and they had an old dog sitting in a cage near the front door, an old West Highland Terrier, white terrier. And I kept looking at him, and I finally asked him. I said, "Is this dog for sale here?" And they said, "Yes, he's old, and he's not able to be a stud dog anymore."
Oh, geez.
So they just wanted like $50 for him. So I said, "Well, give me him. I'm going to take him home because I knew what was going to happen if nobody took him." So.
Yeah, you're right about that. The other side of the coin is, but by purchasing a dog through a pet store, we're perpetuating the problem, though. You have a heart, and I understand why, Bill, you did what you did. By the way, dogs should not be sold at pet stores in the city of Chicago or Cook County anymore. So if you see that happen, call 311 to do that. So the dog flu can be prevented? Yeah, that's the exciting news, Dr. Marks.
Yeah, so as of December, we now have an H3N2 specific influenza vaccine.
Which is for the current strain we're talking
Correct.
About.
Correct. We only had an N8 before.
Which is for a different strain.
The original influenza that we had back in 2008, much wimpier strain. It's pretty exciting because this is the first time that the veterinary community and profession has created a vaccine in 5 months. It's almost
that's amazing.
It's unheard of. But that shows how important prevention is for this disease, because it is so widespread. It's in almost every state, and there are outbreaks happening every single week. So we do have a vaccine. It's a series of two, one vaccine originally given and then one 3 weeks later. They're considered protected a week after the booster. So it's unfortunately unlike the human vaccines where you can just go to a Walgreens and get it and feel like you've got protection. This is a series of two and then a booster every year after.
Now, I know you don't, you're not the veterinarian, though you should be. For everybody listening to the radio at this moment, but overall, in general, do you recommend people should speak to their own veterinarian? You can't speak for every dog's
right.
general health condition, who's, you know, every owner. But in general, is it a good idea?
For our dogs that are at risk, absolutely. So your dog is at risk if your dog is active wherever city you are. So if they're at a daycare, a boarding facility, groomers, trainers, agility classes, if they go to puppy play dates, if they... If you live in a condo building and there's a community courtyard, or if you are active in the dog community doing rescues, shelter work, if you go and volunteer every Saturday, if you have that community exposure, or you live in a high risk, you know, avenue, kind of like those high rise condo buildings, your dog is at risk for influenza.
Good advice. Thank you. Bill wants to know, one of the callers on hold, if the dog show is still going to be held in a couple of weeks, I believe, or soon. I believe the answer is yes to that. Dr. Marks, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.